to the mall's south side, and room for an additional 80 stores and a 12-unit food court. On a good week back then, Freedom saw 250,000 shoppers. During the holiday seasons, the number doubled to 500,000. Today, our numbers are, well, much smaller. But Freedom is more than a mere destination. It's a veal unto itself, with all the offerings of a traditional outdoor city, and then some.
You charging a toll to get in?
No. However, there are certain rules you have to follow once you're inside, sir.
Such as?
Well, you can carry one blaster each for protection. I can already see your group believes in traveling well-heeled. Now, that's fine by me. Only a fool travels outside without ample firepower. However, indoors, you lose the extra hardware. Most people go for the pistols, but I'll leave that up to you. Check the other blasters here. You won't need any long blasters or Uzis in Freedom. You can pick them up when you go. Check them now and you'll receive a receipt. There's a fee of 1 mall credit per weapon storage. Pay when you leave. If you don't want to pay, or don't come back to check on your blasters in 30 days, they become mall property. Stay as long as you want. Just don't forget your hardware. No returns.
Give us a second to talk this over.
Hans nodded, even as Ryan saw him make a gesture with his left hand, an alert signal for the armed guards. Ryan stepped back in the circle of his companions, careful to not give the SecMen any reason to think he was going to be trouble.
What do you all think? JB?
Think I don't like letting somebody else sit with my blasters.
Me neither.
And they charge you for the privilege. I, for one, have never liked being jabbed in the hand with the rip-off stick.
Adrian leaned forward with an earnest look on his face as he gestured at the mall.
Look, this is standard operating procedure. Same drill last time I was in here. Even if you leave some of the heavy artillery behind, you people are still better armed than most. Me, I'm going in. I appreciate your company and your help getting here, but it's getting dark, and if I were you, I'd get inside too before night falls and the gateway into Freedom shuts down. I sure as hell wouldn't want to be out here with another pack of stickies wandering around in the dark looking for the ones you chilled.
Alton nodded a goodbye and went back over to the small booth where Hans was waiting for him. Since he had only the Colt, he was quickly led through the check-in process into the main entrance, where he vanished from sight. Christy shrugged.
What other options do we have? Like he said, I don't like the idea of being out at night with as many stickies that are reported to be around here. We can do our traveling by day.
JB, go in or stay out?
I'm not the one to ask right now. I can't see worth a damn in the dark. Daylight, sure. Even though I don't like leaving blasters behind, I vote we stay.
Anybody else want to add an opinion? All right, then it's settled.
Ryan strode back over to the check-in counter and unlimbered the Steyr, taking time to unload the cartridges. After doing likewise, JB handed over his Uzi, preferring to keep the raw force of the M4000 shotgun hanging beneath his coat by a shoulder strap. Hans looked them over with raised eyebrows.
Is that all the extra blasters?
Yeah, we're keeping the pistols per your advice. Except for my friend there, he's hanging onto the shotgun.
And I can take your word there's no extra hardware.
Unless you want to search us. I don't have a problem with that.
No need. We try and limit the violence inside, but we can't fully stomp it out.
Hans reached down for a receipt book and scribbled down the makes of the weapons and Ryan's name. The receipt book had carbons, and he handed over a copy. Ryan folded the slip of paper and placed it in a pocket.
Where do we get mall creds?
It's the Bank of Freedom Incorporated. You'll see it on the right when you go through the second checkpoint. You can exchange your currency there.
Right. What's the rate of exchange?
Well, it varies. I never heard any complaints. Freedom Mall wants to keep your business, so we play fair with what you want to spend. When you're ready to go, you can give us back what you didn't use, and we'll return what's left of your funds minus a 10% handling fee.
Jack turned a quizzical, ruby-eyed look at Mildred.
Lots of fees in this place.
Welcome to a sampling of civilization of sorts. Let's just hope there isn't a Freedom Mall sales tax.
The mall interior was an odd mix of preservation, restoration, and retrofitting. There were two floors, with the second floor having a high ceiling that stretched up to a series of clear sky panels that allowed the sun to provide interior illumination. Half of the upper level was floorless, with open walkways that allowed the sunlight to filter down below, giving room for multiple sets of wide stairwells and narrow, non-functioning escalators. An overblown abstract sculpture also dominated in the area they currently were looking at, the arms of the piece stretching skyward, graceful and long. The populace spilled out everywhere, most walking, some on skateboards or inline skates. A rickshaw-styled taxi service seemed to be doing well, manned by weary-looking bare-chested men as the two-seater carriages rolled past. Most of the visible storefronts had kept their original signage, with new additions added below. Others had chosen to strip away or cover the names of original Freedom tenants. Mildred counted several familiar names from her previous life that were still in evidence. Ryan ran his one-eyed gaze over the cluttered interior.
First thing we do is find a place to stay. Mildred, you've been in these things before. Any ideas?
Well, any mall this size I ever went into had directories to help out new visitors. Directories were also good promotions for stores. They helped steer you where they wanted you to go, not where you might stumble by accident.
Comp terminals?
No, Dean. Not that high-tech. Although, now that I think about it, some places did feature information banks with computers, in case someone was interested in finding out more about a store or wanted to find a particular brand of merchandise. Pretty slow, primitive stuff, though. And designed to be idiot-proof to keep Joe Public from becoming frustrated and screwing up the system.
Could just ask somebody. Might be a lot simpler. Plenty of folks to choose from.
In a place this size, by the time they explained where we wanted to go, we could have already been there.
It's just a suggestion.
A couple of Ville folk bustled past, jostling Doc, who had to dance back to keep from being pushed into Christie.
I must confess to a strange feeling hovering between euphoria at having a roof over my head in a secure environment and claustrophobia at the number of people crammed alongside us in here.
There it is.
Mildred pointed toward the back of the long hall of shops past the Bank of Freedom. The group peered down at a black monolithic slab that seemed to glow with a hidden radiance from within. Everyone approached the slab. From their earlier viewpoint, it had appeared to be rectangular, but now they could see it was triangular. The same information was on all three sides, a carefully lined map of the interior of Freedom, with numbers and letters in each box or passageway of the grid. The code numbers corresponded to a long list of shops and services stenciled in below, each section with a different heading in alphabetical order. Dean ran a curious look over the colorful blocks.
Upper level is split into two parts, Section A and Section B.
And the lower level is also divided into Sections C and D. We are currently in D, according to the You Are Here arrow. Layout looks pretty basic, and each of the sections is split by a big store. Says here the old JCPenney is the link to either side. Ooh, impressive. Someone in here has graphic art skills, and we all know how unusual that is to come across. This directory appears to be completely up to date. At least there were no chain stores in the 1990s called the Gaudy Boutique or Mike's Meats, to my recollection.
Jack scanned the visible rail of the level above them, keenly staring at any of the passersby who chose to look down. Unlike Doc, Jack found no peace or security in having a roof over his head. A roof could hide many things. The only way in and out of Freedom was crawling with SecMen, but it also made a man stay wary.
How come it glows?
The construct we're looking at has fluorescent tubes on the inside with clear glass walls. I don't know where the power source is. It could be batteries or hooked into the system somehow. All you have to do is make up your color-coded overlay on a plastic sheet of acetate. This looks like it was generated by a computer laser printer. And attach your listings to the backside of the glass so no one can get to it. And presto, you got your very own mall directory.
Dean pointed a finger at one of the headings with the listing Travel Lodging.
Freedom Center Station. One night or 1 year? Wow, the place looks big. Takes up a chunk of the far end of the mall.
And it's close by, too. We've walked long enough today.
Definitely. Bunks for one night seems about all we can afford right now. I held back part of our check at the bank. My guess is some of the stores in here will take tender they don't have to worry about reporting or running through the proper channels of exchange. After what we've seen, I'm sure the mall probably hits them up for a 10% handling charge, just like us visitors.
Ryan, don't forget. We've got some bartering power with the antibiotics I found. Medicine is worth a pretty penny, especially in a place like this.
We'll see about selling it or swapping it tomorrow. Tonight, I just want to sleep.
And see about scrubbing that skin dye off.
Yeah. Thanks, Christy.
Dean wasn't listening to any of that. His attention was still on the inwardly lit mall directory and the maze of attractions and shops it promised.
Hey, look at this, Dad! Dr. Michael Clark, eye specialist.
By the three Kennedys, it seems we found a solution to JB's eye problems in the timely form of this good optician.
I hope so, Doc. Guess we can make one detour before bunking down. You think you could find this place, Dean?
No prob, Dad.
Lead on, then.
JB stepped out of the small entrance to Dr. Clark's office, scowling. Clark had also kept a piece of the past, retaining the LensCrafters sign his facility originally used. The visit to the eye doctor had taken only moments. The prices quoted for the man's services, including a pair of eyeglasses, were well beyond the group's current financial status. Another solution would have to be sought, but not until all had gotten some much-needed rest. Silently, the group walked back to the Freedom Center station. In a former life, the boarding hotel and apartment building had served as a hub store, one of the name-brand anchor shops that ensured a large crowd of excited customers would continue to come out to buy on a regular basis. Mildred recognized the logo of the place immediately.
Sears, where America shops for value.
Once the rate was paid and free rooms were secured, the companions went their separate ways. Each couple got a room, with Dean, Jack, and Doc getting the third. Usually, a room alone meant time for lovemaking for Ryan and Christy, but their passions were stilled by exhaustion, combined with the still fresh memories of Pharaoh Akhenaten's mind games. They mostly succeeded in cleansing themselves in a lukewarm shower and were asleep within seconds of lying down together, their bodies tightly intertwined. The group of friends had gathered in the late morning for a meal of water and dried rations from their supply packs. They were sitting in one of the common areas inside the mall. Doc had arrived early, due to being awakened at dawn by chronic aches and pains of travel, and had scoped out a wide bench and claimed it for his own, and for the use of his companions as they began arriving at the spot at the agreed-upon time. JB, now cleansed of the skin dye, felt terrible, and his eyes hurt from the constant squinting he had to engage in to try to bring his surroundings into better focus. The century-old adhesive of the fresh bandages Mildred had applied to his facial lesions itched, but he knew better than to scratch. The last thing he wanted to do was endure a double dose of Doc's aimless chatter before he even had a full cup of coffee sub.
Alas, friends, but the fates have provided for us while spitting upon our unprotected brows simultaneously. Normally, the loss of John Barrymore's spectacles would be the cause of dire calamities indeed. Now we are within the protected walls of a virtual village of shops, including that rarest of rarities, a genuine optician.
What's wrong with this picture, Doc?
I was getting to that, Dr. Wyeth. Unfortunately, we do not possess the necessary currency to purchase the needed services of the aforementioned ocular physician, so, put succinctly, we are fucked.
Don't say fuck, Doc. It sounds all wrong coming out of your mouth.
There's always a way. We're not out of ideas yet.
I know that tone. And you know better than to even think of trying to walk in there and take a pair of eyeglasses for JB.
What? You don't think I could get away with it?
Maybe, maybe not. First, JB would have to take the eye exam so we'll know what kind of lenses he needs. He said the eye doc told him he needed Jack up front before doing the examination.
Makes good sense. Payment in full before you get started. Otherwise, whoever it is you're examining may decide he doesn't like what you've got to say and bolt.
Even if you bully Dr. Clark into doing the exam, he's got thousands of different kinds of glasses in his office. No telling which set of lenses JB needs. Besides, I kind of like the guy.
Shit, Millie, the prices he's charging are ridiculous.
That's carryover from the good old days. Us doctors always demanded top pay for our services.
What we do now?
Pay the man what he wants, I guess.
Ryan shrugged as he polished off the last of his portion of the powdered egg self-heat for his morning meal.
Still think we should just go in and take him. Take him all. Find a pay that works.
Jack, the going rate is the going rate. Clark's talents and his apparent ready supply of glasses are rarely found. I never met an eye doctor wandering around in Deathlands. Have you, Ryan?
Can't say as I ever have. Where did you get your first pair of specs anyway, JB?
I was just a kid.
Suddenly, a very small man stepped in front of JB with an excited look.
Pardon me, yes? I overhear you have a problem. No, I have the answer, yes?
Ryan's hand shot out like a steel baton and grabbed the little man by the throat.
No! No!
The fellow was dressed to the nines in a tiny pair of dress shoes, green pants and matching jacket, bow tie, and a dramatic black cape draped over his shoulders.
Are you listening to our private conversation?